Hello and welcome to the Intentional Manifestation Podcast, where we talk about all of the things that help us to manifest an aligned life that's beyond our wildest dream. My name is Megan, and I'm your host for this podcast. I use neuroscience, epigenetics, somatics, energetics, and holistic nutrition to help my clients completely shift their perspective so they can transform their life. To align your life with your dreams, check out my self-paced coaching program that also gives one-on-one coaching support. For just $47 per month, cancel anytime. You can find the link in the description.
So I'm so excited to chat with you, and I would really actually just love to start with you telling us about yourself, how you got into the industry, and I guess you could start there.
Sure. Well, hello, I'm Dana Lee of the Dana Lee Project, which is the best project of my entire life. I've gotten into all sorts of projects and have determined I'm the most worthy of paying attention to and working on. So that's what I, you know, encourage my clients to do the same for themselves. I consider myself a diet recovery coach. I don't know what else to call myself. Yes, I help women with healing their relationship with food. But the history comes from if you were, you know, a teenager and you started dieting way back then, or you watched your mom diet or grandmother or aunt and was very influenced by that. So that can lead to decades of perpetual dieting, right? So it's being on a diet, off a diet, really difficult to break up with the identity of who you are without being on a diet or gaining weight, losing weight, and that whole roller coaster, not just physically in your body, but what I focus on in my method is connecting the spiritual, mental, and emotional components that are left out when you're typically told, you know, eat this or you're following this nutrition plan. But the main part that is a major part that gets left out is your mindset around that. Like, what is your belief system? What are your thoughts behind why you're eating what you're eating and how you get into the using food as a coping mechanism? So I started going down this path because I also was that teenager that, you know, had to be on that perpetual diet and felt this deep desire and need to be skinny at all costs. So when I found out I could go to school for exercise physiology, I'm like, what? I could study how to be thin? Okay, sign me up. So that ended up literally feeding my disordered eating. So I ended up with, in two decades, I battled a lot of binge eating, but then I would exercise. So I had exercise bulimia, which would be like, well, I try to exercise my way out of the binge. And it just created this like perpetual cycle and really got my mental health all wrapped up around that. And being in the role of a fitness professional for so many years, and I had opened a gym and I have this online fitness platform, and, you know, having that role in the fitness industry, I think was part of what took me so long to figure out how to heal. So that's what leads me to today, because about 10 years ago, I did decide to break up with dieting and I went on my own journey. I had to break up with the fitness industry and nutritionists and all of that to find my own method. It took me about 3 years. And now that's what I teach. I've been teaching that and helping women through this foundational method for them to discover themselves, who they really are, who is their identity without dieting. And I've been doing that for about 7 years now.
Amazing. That's such a good story. I love it. And, you know, it's so true. Not just my mom, but my dad also. It was like, oh, we're going to diet this week. Oh, we got to start our diet again. They did the Zone. They did South Beach, like everything. But none of those things work long term. Sure, you can lose weight, but then you're going to put it back on as soon as you start eating food again. And so, you know, that was a thing. But when I think back, it's funny because like my great grandmother, she was 98 when she died. I would never have called her a skinny person ever. And, you know, she cooked with lard and never was, that was never a thing for her to be skinny. Then my grandma, she also is not like a thin person, but she had a lot of heart disease. So for her, she ate like certain ways because of actual health issues. It really wasn't until like my mom's era, you know, the 70s and 80s when they start aerobics come in and, oh, you have to be skinny. And all of a sudden that's what like Hollywood's telling you have to be. And so that everybody thinks they have to and that they're not worthy of just showing up as they are based on like what they are. And it's mind-boggling to me that we've like taken on this thing just because somebody said everybody has to be skinny now if you want to be like liked and loved and whatever, right? It's crazy.
Yeah, this started with me. It wasn't actually my immediate, like not my mother, it was my grandmother on my dad's side. She gave me a lot of attention for being thin my whole childhood. And I didn't understand why. I was just being a kid. And I don't know why that was so important to her to draw attention to it, to celebrate it. I was like, I'm just being a kid. Like, I'm just out playing and doing my thing. Plus, I had a younger sister, a couple of years younger than me, and our body shapes are very different. And there was nothing wrong with that. But we were often pitted against one another. And I think that also can be a very relatable story with women out there who have sisters or even cousins, their own, like close to their age. So my grandmother gave me a lot of attention with that. And when I got into high school and I was a little bit of a late bloomer, I gained maybe a couple pounds. It wasn't even that much, but it sent me into a tailspin of like a fear about gaining weight that I did not understand then. It took me until that day, 20 years into my food dysfunction, the day that I decided I had this epiphany of like, what if I stop dieting? What if I actually figured out how to love myself, genuinely love myself? What if I did that instead, regardless of how much I end up gaining? Like maybe I end up gaining weight, but ultimately the pendulum will swing, it'll come back around. In that discovery, and this is what I help my clients work through too, I took on that belief because I got so much attention from being thin. If I gained weight, nobody would love me. Like that was the root of my entire food dysfunction of like, and I didn't understand it. When you're in it, it's such a subconscious thing. I didn't consciously know what was going on, but it was this attention seeking, like, oh, everyone loves and accepts me because I'm this way. I better not change. And then you get the reinforcement. Cause I also grew up in the 90s, you know, I'm a Gen Xer. So it's like the Taibo and you get, you know, all the Shape magazine and health and women's health. We didn't see body diversity then. Things were photoshopped. Everyone was thin and lean and tiny, and there was Kate Moss. And so it was this, not just from my immediate family, from the messages of the culture at the time was just coming at me. And that's why I'm just so dedicated to help women take that apart so that way they can understand that's what's going on. It's not that you're fundamentally flawed, but perhaps the way you were brought up and what you came to think and understand, what if that's flawed? And then we can get somewhere, because then you can actually start healing your relationship with food, because you're realizing like, oh, that, wait a second, I can break up with that identity. That doesn't have to be me. I can create something else. So hence the Dana Lee Project, because that's why I help my clients, like, you know, the Megan Project, you know, like it's so much more fun to think about it that way. Like, oh, wait, I can tear this down and reconstruct it. And, you know, sometimes I need glue and sometimes I need duct tape and sometimes, you know, but you can have much more fun with the process of discovering who it is you are underneath all of that conditioning.
Yes, 100%. And it's funny because like that is exactly what I do with my clients, not specifically food, but just any limiting belief that we have. And we have so many. And it's just like the system. You're not broken. The system is broken. The system that tells us we need to be a certain way, that women in general should like sit down and be quiet and not show up. And you have to look like this to be loved or else. And you have to conform to society or else. But like, or else what? Like, have we ever tried it? Have we ever gone against the norm and actually tried to see what would happen? Because like big news flash, like nothing scary is going to happen to you. What's going to happen is you're going to free yourself from all these beliefs you thought you had to live within, these restrictions and these limitations that you thought was there for you and that was normal. And that's not normal. That's just normal for you because you don't know anything different. But there's other people in the world who see life completely differently than we see it. And sometimes that's better and sometimes that's worse, right? Like they all have different models of reality. And so specifically when it comes to food, excuse me, and the system of how we're meant to look, and it honestly yeah. boggles my mind because it's not even healthy for women to be strive to be thin. Like women actually need fat. Like we are meant to carry babies if we so desire to, and to have a different hormonal impact than men. And it's just mind-blowing that we were told to look a certain way from men, even though it's like completely not what women are meant to have and strive for, right? Like crazy.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of when I was in college. I was actually going to school for exercise physiology, but I ended up switching my degree to graphic design. I got my BFA in graphic design because I love art and I love drawing, and graphic design is my other. So I had two professions. But in that switching, I ended up taking a life drawing class. And now this was in the throes of my diet addiction, exercise addiction, all of that, right? And I remember my life drawing professor showing and breaking down how to draw the human body, male and female. And I remember him going through like, well, this is how you draw from a woman's belly, of like the belly button is here, and then the stomach, the below the belly button, there's a pad of fat. He's my life drawing teacher. And he's teaching that it is absolutely normal for a woman to have a pad of fat underneath her belly button. And that was kind of mind blowing. He's because, you know, here I am with my exercise physiology going on this side, and then design and art on this side, and my two worlds are kind of colliding there because I'm like, wait a second, he studies the human body in an art form. And I'm here looking at all these magazines, of course dating myself because they were magazines. This is before social media, people. Like before all that. But I would see these flat stomachs from all these women. And of course, then once again, my profession's overlapping, come to find out a lot of that's Photoshopped. That's a lie. There's so much of it that's a lie. And it's Photoshopped. It's not even real. But we don't know that. And as, you know, growing up and even now, right, even at this age, we can still buy into that old, if we're not on top of it, if we're not diligent. And, you know, like, oh, I see what this marketing ploy is doing. You just want my money.
Yeah. Or now we just show up on TikTok or Instagram with a filter. And like, now you can see filters. But before, when they first came out, people would just show up in filters and people were like, wow, that person's so beautiful. Look at her flawless skin. Yeah, she's got a filter on. Right. And we think that that's normal to just show up with filters on. Like, I've made it a mission to not put filters on because I want to show up as myself. Sure, there's some days where I'm like, ugh, I don't really feel my best today. Like, I didn't sleep well. Look at these bangs under my eyes. But at the same time, I don't want my daughter to think she needs to show up with the filter on. And so being the version of who you want your daughter to be, whether you have a daughter or not, like, think about all the other daughters in the world. And it's like, is that the example you want to lead by? And, you know, I had a friend who would speak all the time about how she wants to be an example for her daughter, but like she gets Botox and she puts filters on all the time and she won't show up. And it's like, I get it, but also you can't be an example without being an example. You have to lead by example. You have to be the person that you want your daughter to turn into, or you want other people in the world to turn into and to be, right? You can't just expect other people to change without being that change yourself.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite quotes. Be the change you want to see in the world, because it's it starts with you. You know, and I hate to repeat myself here, but again, the Dana Lee Project, it starts with me. So I'm with you on that. I will not put filters on. And I know Photoshop. I'm trained in it. I will not use it. And the other thing is, as I've built my fitness platform from years ago, I never, and I had a gym, I never, ever, ever did before and after photos, ever. It, what? After, after what? You have the whole rest of your life to live. What, after what? You know, I just, it was, and then you're so focused on the physicality of it, it completely negates who you're becoming in the process of that transformation. And is it a lasting transformation? Is it just the weight loss drop because anything you do dramatically in a short period of time? Okay, yeah, you may have dropped 50 pounds. Let's see how you're doing 2-3 years from now, the maintenance of it. Did your mindset actually, like, do you actually believe you're a fit and healthy person? Or do you believe deep down, I don't deserve the attention. I don't deserve to be healthy and thin. That will win out every single time. Every single time.
Yeah. So you have to be like, if you want to show up every day and choose the meals that are nutritious, and it doesn't mean like a diet wise, but the meals that are full of micronutrients that are going to support your body. If you want to do that, if you want to have some form of daily exercise, whether it's just going out for a walk every day, you need to be the person who sees themselves as that person, right? Like, you can't. Michael Jordan trained the way he trained because he saw himself as a professional basketball player. Like, if you saw yourself as a professional basketball player, you'd do that kind of training too. Mm-hmm. You just would. It would just be part of your lifestyle. You wouldn't be like, oh man, I guess I should go out and do all these sprints. And I don't know what professional basketball trainer player do to train, but right. I, you know, me not being that, I wouldn't be like, oh man, today I gotta go do this, it's in my schedule, gotta fit it down, make it a priority. I don't do that because that's not who I am. However, if I just want to show up as somebody who feels really good in their body, then I need to step into that identity of doing the things, because, you know, we talk about manifestation a lot on this podcast. Obviously, it's called the Intentional Manifestation Podcast, but you can't just manifest by thinking things. Like, yes, that's part of it, but there's action that you have to take, you know. And maybe your goal is to lose weight, like maybe you want to get into a healthy weight for your body and that's your goal. Certainly thinking about it being your goal isn't going to get you any results. You have to go on those daily walks, right? Like, it doesn't have to be obsessive, but something that you enjoy doing, and then doing it. Can't just sit around.
Yeah, it is so much about taking inspired action. So, you know, when clients will come to me like, oh, I started running because I want to lose weight. Okay, so do you enjoy running? So if you enjoy running, absolutely go on with your bad self. Like, do it. However, if you're running because you think that's the way to weight loss, you're almost like, it's almost like you're beating yourself up into, and no wonder why you're not going to be able to adhere to it. Because your identity, we're going to go back to that. So I'm so glad you brought that up, because the reason I started talking about, like, you're aligned with a dieting identity. So if you realign yourself with a healthy fit identity, those two people treat themselves entirely different, and they look at life differently, and they choose behaviors in alignment with. So if you identify with, I'm a lifelong dieter, I gain weight and lose weight, that's who you identify with, then that's what you're setting yourself up with the manifestation. You're setting yourself up for more of that. So it's about stepping back to really understand where that thinking came from, challenge it. You have to be willing to challenge it. Find other role models and other women who are living, breathing examples of this. And this is why in my community, I call it my MindFit collective. It's a collective of women who are rising up. We're rising up together to look at ourselves differently, to speak up, speak our minds, stand up for what we believe in, set the boundaries, not just set the boundaries, but the tough part is reinforcing the boundaries. When it's pushed against, then okay, like, it's one thing to set them. It's a whole nother game to have the courage to reinforce them. But that's really, when we start to resolve that stuff, the food things start to resolve. You end up not leaning on coping mechanisms like food and, you know, destructive behavior. So not just food. I have a lot of clients who have overlapping addictions. So it's a food addiction, shopping. You know, I actually had a client who had a sex addiction. There's alcohol addiction. So a lot of these addictions are kind of play, either they can go back and forth within the same time period. Sometimes they're different phases you go in and out, because I'll heal this one thing and then it moves to something else, you know? So then that's where, therefore, do you see how important it is to align yourself with a healthy, fit human being? Mm-hmm. So no matter what that addiction is, you're constantly working on, I don't even say working on, you put effort and attention and care and nurturing towards feeding that person who's healthy and fit and takes good care of themselves, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think so many people want to see results and they want to physically see them. So we think in that physical realm, right? If we do this, we do that, this is going to change, that's going to change. But those are all behavior and environmental changes. And truly, it's that like top of the pyramid, identity and values, what's going to make the changes. And so figuring out what you value, like, why do you want these changes? Like, what underneath it all? Is it that you want to run around with your children? Is it that you want to be there for your grandchildren? Is it that, you know, you've been feeling really sluggish and you want to feel good in your body again? Maybe you've had some health scares, you know, like what is it at that like inner core level that is making you feel like you want those changes? Because just making the changes isn't enough to keep long lasting changes. And I know we're going to like probably beat this down, but it really is the identity level. Like if you can't move into a different identity, then you're going to be stuck in the one that you have. And that is going to keep you feeling stuck. Like it's going to keep you repeating that cycle based on your model of reality. And so really to move out of that model of reality, you have to start changing the way that you think. Oh my goodness, let's cough today. And so, you know, very quickly for our listeners, like your model of reality is the way that you process information. We process like 2.3 million bits of information at like one time. And so could you imagine walking outside and instead of like noticing a bunch of trees, you notice every single like needle on the pine tree? That would be so overwhelming. All the little curves in the bark, like you couldn't do that. So our mind, of course, generalizes information. Oh, there's a group of trees over there. We distort information. And what's the last one? I can't think of it. Generalize, distort, and delete. We delete information from our mind that's not relevant to us, right? And so that's the way that you process information. And then we run it through a bunch of filters based on our beliefs. So if all we saw was our parents going on yo-yo diets their entire life, well, then our belief is that that's a normal way to live, that you know, you eat what you want, you binge a little bit, and then, oh, when you feel like you've gone a little too far, okay, you're going to diet the next week. And that's a normal way of living. You don't know anything outside of that because that's all you've ever known to be true. And so when you're faced with, you know, something, somebody's like, hey, let's go out and go get chicken wings and beer and whatever, like that's a normal thing to do. Go out and do that. But in your model of reality, you're like, yeah, okay, great. And then, you know, the next day you're like, oh, gotta be good tomorrow. Like that's like a famous, what my mom still to this day says, I gotta be good. What does being good have to do with eating more healthy? Like it's okay to eat the chicken wings and beer and you don't have to like binge the next day. Just go back to eating your nutrients again. You know, if you're feeling kind of crappy, eat a salad with some grilled meat. Like it doesn't have to be another, you know, bingey kind of meal if you're already feeling crappy. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm going to diet so hardcore for this whole week. It can just be like getting back on track. And even that like sounds funny to say getting back on track, but just going back into your normal way of eating. Like you can eat the things and then just go back into it.
Yeah. And the way I approach this concept is food is food. Mm-hmm. Just neutralize food. You're not a good person or a bad person for eating whatever food. And if you can understand that concept, it is so freeing. But I hear it all the time, like, oh, it was so bad this weekend. Yeah. Because you had chicken wings and beer, you were bad. Right.
Did you murder somebody? Or, oh, you ate chicken wings.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Oh, okay. Those are two completely different things. Like murdering somebody, that's bad. Eating chicken wings,
exactly.
Not bad.
You're like,
yeah.
Really? Yeah. Really, though? It's like, I had two chicken wings. I was so bad. I'm like, huh? So that kind of thinking, the problem is it just sets you up for an F it mentality. F it. I already messed up. I might as well. Or it could swing the other way where then you're back in restriction and then that deprivation. And science has proven that doesn't work. There's studies out there showing you that kind of diet deprivation. It biologically doesn't work. Physiologically, psychologically, it doesn't work. So if you neutralize it and you give less of that energetic charge to eating the chicken wings, you can eat one or two wings and leave it at that, as opposed to thinking, oh my God, I'm so bad and just F it and I'll eat the whole bucket. And that's not helpful.
Yeah.
So if you neutralize it, food is food. It's not good or bad. I'm not a good or bad person. Food doesn't have moral intrinsic value. That is such a powerful thing, a powerful gift to give yourself, to look at food differently.
Totally. And it's like, even if you do eat the whole bucket of chicken wings, it doesn't, you know, have your salad or your celery and your blue cheese or your carrots. Eating the chicken wings doesn't negate the nutrients that are in the chicken wings. It's like when they used to say, like, oh, eat a salad, but like put minimal dressing on it. And it's like, okay, but like even if you went and bought like the most processed store-bought dressing, it doesn't negate the nutrients that you get from your salad, right? Like it's not, one does not equal the other. You can go, sure, you're going to have more calories and there's some, you know, processed ingredients that you probably shouldn't be eating just health-wise, but like that still doesn't negate the fact that you're eating a ton of micronutrients in your vegetables that are in your salad and you're getting protein and like all the things. And I think that's what a lot of people need to understand too, is that one does not negate the other.
Yes, that's such a powerful thought there, because I work a lot with my clients on finding this like gray area. It's not black or white. It doesn't have to be so extreme. And to dismiss all the good stuff that you've done is not helpful. No. It's not helpful because it does count. I remember when I was obsessed with like exercise and counting calories, and you know, everyone's addicted to their devices now, but also back in the day, I had a heart rate monitor and I would wear my heart rate monitor and it would count my calories and all of that. And I literally, if I forgot to hit start on my heart rate monitor, even if I had just taught an intense kickboxing class, it would be like, oh my God, it didn't even happen.
Yeah.
Like
I can't see the results.
I can't see it. It wasn't recorded. Oh my God. I have to do that over again. So the device thing too, it's like, it's helpful to give you information, but if you're leaning on that to really give you the true feedback of, am I actually physically hungry? Do I feel satisfied? Do I feel accomplished from that walk I just took outside? It felt great to get sunshine and fresh air. And how can we pick up, like, not only from food of like, I'm not going to just dismiss and negate all the good stuff from this salad just because I put blue cheese dressing on it or whatever, or an extra tablespoon that I shouldn't have, you know, but also with a walk, your intention behind why you move your body. What if you moved your body and you got outside because the sun is shining, it feels good, the breeze on your face, that feels incredible. And it has nothing to do with the number of steps, has nothing to do with the calories that you're burning. Because if you're focused on those things, unfortunately, those are the things that start to rob you of experiencing the mindfulness of your life and the richness that is right underneath your nose every single day. And that makes me really sad, you know, because I spent so many years of holding off on my happiness in hopes that when I lose weight, I will be happy. What are we doing? So I'm going to hold off on experiencing this beautiful sunny day. And I'm going to be so focused on my steps and my calories. And I gained 0.3 pounds this morning when I stepped on the scale. And you're completely missing all the happiness and gratitude and beauty and richness and relationships and all the things you have going on in your life right now.
Yeah.
That is the stuff that makes you really sad. So that's why I do the work that I do.
Yeah.
Because I want you to bring yourself into today and all the things that beyond the numbers, we as women can get, men too. This is definitely men as well, get wrapped up in, well, I'm going to step on the scale and that number is going to tell me if I'm happy today. That number is going to dictate
what I can eat.
And so what I can eat, can I eat? Or sometimes you're like, oh, I'm down 3 pounds. I can eat whatever I want. So that can happen too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, that's really powerful. And it made me think, like, what if I was like, oh, Nora, that's my daughter, we can't go to the beach today. Let's wait until I lose 10 pounds and then we can go to the beach, right? Like, what am I doing to her? One, I mean, subconsciously she's picking up, like, can't go to the beach unless you're skinny. But I'm missing out on moments with her because I don't like the way I look in a bathing suit. Like, that's crazy. It's so crazy. And there, I mean, the beliefs that I'd be putting on her, but also just for myself, like, I'd be robbing myself of spending a fun day at the beach with my daughter because I'm waiting to lose 10 pounds that I'm probably never going to lose in that summer. Because truthfully, unless I was like hardcore, like committed to losing 10 pounds, it's not going to happen over the course of the summer I say it's going to happen in. And it also made me think, you know, waiting to live life. Yesterday I recorded a money podcast and she said the exact same thing. You know, people prolong, oh, when I get this amount of money, then I'll be happy. And she's like, and then they get it and nothing has changed because your happiness doesn't lie in the end results. You think those things are going to make you happy. It might make life a little bit easier if you have that amount of money, but your happiness, you can be happy at any time. You know, you can recall a memory right now and bring it up. In my line of work, we create anchors. So you can anchor in feelings and states in your knuckles at any time and call those up. Like this one here is like a calm, like blissful, just like I'm in the middle of meditation kind of anchor on my finger. And this one here I have for just like total trust that everything's working out. It's all going to be okay. And I can literally tap on those knuckles and pull up those states right now. So you can be happy at any time. Happiness is not a goal to strive for. And doing the things that you think are going to make you have those states is almost never going to give you that. So even when you achieve the goal, until you work on that underlying identity and those values and really discover who you are, those outer appearance, those outer state things are never going to help you. Truly.
No, and it does remind me, like, so in my line of work, it ends up, I see it all the time, then the goalposts just move. So let's just say you drop the 20 pounds. Okay, you dropped the 20 pounds, but now you're still in the habit of picking yourself apart and your flaws. So now you drop the 20 pounds, but it's like, wow, I didn't lose it from where I wanted to lose it. And now you're going to pick apart the sagging skin. You're going to pick apart your wrinkles. You're going to pick apart now that you're aging. It's just going to move to the next thing. So until you deal with the underlying issue that the worthiness, the value, I value who I am regardless of my outside shell, that's what we got to get at, because otherwise the goalposts just keep moving and it's never going to be good enough. And if you do have an underlying belief, what I do isn't good enough, I'm never good enough, then there you go, that's how it plays out. You drop the 20 pounds, it's still not good enough. So you're chasing the good enough. Mm-hmm. What is that exactly?
Right.
What exactly is
that? And who determines that? Who determines good enough?
And who determines that?
You or somebody else? Because we're now seeking outside validation, right? And when we're seeking that external validation, we're never going to be happy because other people can't give you what you want. You think that it's, you know, other people saying, excuse me, I don't know what's going on with me today. It's not even why my daughter is sick. She has a fever. So, it's, you think that we're seeking that external validation. And when somebody says to you, oh, you look great. Okay. That makes you feel good for like 5 seconds, but then, you know, nobody else says that. And you're like, oh, maybe it was just that one person. It was a fluke. Nobody else thinks I look great. Oh, I got to keep working. It's the inner validation that you need. You need to be able to look in the mirror and be like, I look great today. Not because you lost weight or because whatever, because you genuinely love the way that you look. And you know what? It's okay to not like the way you look one day, but you just have to be able to accept that. You know, like I said earlier, like sometimes we're really tired. Sometimes we feel a little bit bloated. We have our period and we're like, ugh, it's just not a great day. I don't look great in my jeans today. And that's okay. We're women and our bodies fluctuate. And it's just being okay with that. It's like also being like in tune with our cycles to be like, okay, yeah, I know why I'm bloated right now. It's not because I gained weight. It's not because I did something wrong, because I'm a woman and it's that time of my cycle where it's actually normal for me to be bloated, or it's normal for me to have a little bit more pimple this week because that's my normal hormonal, you know, system and cycle. And to know that and to be in awareness of that and then accept it. You can't change it.
Yeah, and be able to ride those waves. And also what I like to do is if you're having body image issues of say, okay, I may not like how I look today. I like who I am. But I like who I am as a person. Yep. I like who I am as a woman. I like who I am becoming. If you can reframe that to be more internal, you can almost separate yourself a bit from the outside shell of the vanity of it. Because then you're just like, even if you have to close your eyes or, you know, just kind of go inward just for a breath or two, be like, okay, I'm not looking my best today. I feel really tired. I got my period. I feel bloated. I feel like I really wish I could just stay in bed all day, but I got things to do and I'm still okay. But inside, I like who I'm becoming. Mm-hmm. I like the person I'm becoming. And that's more important.
Absolutely.
Because the outside will always change. Today's the youngest you'll ever be. So we've got to understand that and really work on accepting that from that point forward. Yes, and that we're more than just our body weight. We're more than just what we look like. This is the vessel that we're in. There's something deeper down in there, more meaning and purpose and service we can provide to the world when we get to that, that core.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, that's really comes down to that worth, that we are worthy no matter what we look like. And we are just in this shell. I mean, really, it's a shell. We have souls that live within us and everything else is external and it's human. And we are human. We chose to be here as humans. And, you know, we do face that. We face emotions. We face our physical appearance and that leading to different emotions. But when we can be in awareness and say, okay, you know what? I am human. It's normal to feel this way. It's okay to feel this way. What am I going to do to feel better? You know, maybe it is staying in bed. Maybe it's canceling my plans and staying in bed. Maybe it's going and taking a hot shower. Maybe it's, you know, if you have the means to, and it's not a shopping addiction, going and buying yourself something that you do feel good in that day, you know? And there's so many ways to make ourselves feel better that aren't dieting or extreme fitness. Like if you're feeling crappy because you have your period and you're bloated, jumping on the treadmill and going for a run isn't going to make you feel better. It's going to make you feel tired and make you feel more crappy. So just really being in tune with like how you're feeling, I think is the number one way to like live your best life is, you know, today I feel a little bit crappy. Maybe today I feel a little bit like, ugh, and I do want to get on the treadmill and like walk or run. And that's going to make me feel good. Like that, the end result is that I feel good. Not that I lost weight or that I made changes to my body, but like I feel really good for getting that movement in. And, you know, afterwards I feel great and I can go on with my day.
What I like to do on days like that is really ask myself, what can I do today? What can I do today? It's like the lowest hanging fruit stuff. When you feel like really low, there's something you can do. Can you take a shower? Can you take a bath? Can you call a friend? Can you put on some music? Can you vacuum?
Yeah.
I don't know. Something that is going to feel like, okay, I'll feel somewhat productive. I'll feel a little better about myself. Oh, I can put those clothes away. Okay. I can throw in a load of wash, little by little. And if you just focus on moving through your day like that when you're having really low days, then you end up like, all right, look at me. Pat yourself on the back. Look what I did today. Like I did, even it was three things, simple things. Unload the dishwasher, make a phone call, take a shower.
Yeah.
Like, accomplished, especially when you feel like those days, you know, first or second day of your period, feeling really bloated and ugh, you know, or having the onset of like you feel like a sickness is coming on, right? And like, all right, something doesn't feel right. Let me take care of myself for a day or two now. Let me do the minimal things instead of the all or nothing mentality, throwing yourself like, because I do remember when I was teaching lots of fitness classes. If I came in feeling a little tired, I would push myself even harder, almost to prove something. Mm-hmm. And it would always backfire. I'd end up like wiped out and almost nauseous the rest of the day. Like what? Why do I have, I just don't feel like I have anything to prove anymore at this stage of my life.
Yeah.
I'm tired of proving, you know?
And to who? Because who is it that we're proving ourselves to? Because mostly it's people that don't even know you or don't matter, right? Like the people who actually genuinely love you and know you, they don't care what size you are. They're going to love you no matter what. They don't care if you're out there teaching a fitness class and giving it your all. Like they just want you to be happy and they want you to like love your life and they want to love you in your life, right? So I think it's really important to be mindful of like who you're trying to prove anything to, because it's typically not yourself. You're not typically trying to prove something to yourself. And if you are, maybe you're trying to prove that like you have discipline, and that's fine, but to what extent and to what end goal? Like, why do you need to have discipline? You know, like I hear a lot of like business coaches, and I don't believe with this at all, but oh, you have to, the number one way to success is like discipline. You have to show up every day and do all the things, even if you don't want to show up, even when you don't want to. And it's like, I don't believe that at all. I believe that if you're not feeling it, that you shouldn't show up, that you should take time to yourself. You know, it's like kind of what we were just saying, do a little bit, do some activities. I've started to really tune into the fact that there's like a certain week where I'm just like, I'm really tired, like in tune with my cycle. I'm really tired. I don't feel like being on my computer working. Like maybe I'll just grab my laptop and do a little bit of work from bed. Maybe those are the days that I'll stay in there and, you know, I'll just plan stuff. Like I won't actually even create. I'll just plan. And sometimes maybe I'll just like go clean the house and I won't work that day. And really tuning into that. And that's okay, because I've come to realize that like the next week I'm ready to go full force and spend my whole day at the desk and do a bunch of things. And so it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It can just be based on you being in tune with yourself and what feels good, right? Like, and like I said, as women, we're cyclical creatures where our bodies literally run on a cycle. And the sooner we understand that, and the sooner we like realize that, then the easier life gets. Because we can say, it's okay. It's okay that I feel this way right now. But like next week, I know things are going to be better. So what can I do right now?
And I think that's also that social condition, because I too come from this, you know, entrepreneur business background of that drilling in of the consistency, consistently cranking out content consistently, which I did on my YouTube channel for years, every single week, no matter what. And it led to burnout to the point that I took like almost 9 months off of social media entirely. I couldn't even handle it. It was like my whole system crashed. So going back to like, know thyself and be able to trust your own cycles, because it does come back around. Okay, I may feel tired, a little down. What I have noticed, what I've observed and really like kind of experimented with, let me just really embrace, I feel like crap today. I feel tired. I feel sad. I feel angry, whatever's going on. If I'm more open to facing that reality of how I feel, I move through it so much faster. That's the irony of it. If I fight it and I resist it, that could last me a week or two of this underlying resentment. I'll do the content, I show up and I do the things, but I'm angry about it because I really want time off and I really need to pull back and recharge. So I've gotten to, and this is also where in healing your relationship with food, getting to know yourself and knowing those cycles of when you push and when you, and trusting yourself that when you pull back, because I know this is a fear for some women. Well, I missed a couple workouts this week. Oh my God, what if I fall completely off the wagon? But that's not who you are anymore. Right. You're somebody who, if you respect how you're feeling, you'll want to work out again. You want to move your body. You want to, not I have to, but I want to. My spirit's craving it. My soul is craving it. My body, it feels better when it moves. So you start to really learn that about yourself. So you can trust when you pull back and rest, every single time you come back with inspired action, not I should do it, I have to do it. It's more that I want to do it. I'm ready to do it.
Part of who you are.
Which is a totally different energy. And it's so much more, it's better received by your body when you approach it that way. You get better results. You get better results.
Yeah, 100%. Because, when it's your identity, when you see yourself that way, you just subconsciously want to get back to working out because you're not trying to do those, like I said, those action, behavior, and environmental, I can think of the word, environmental actions and changes we're no longer in that stage where we're saying, oh, I'm so tired, I want to take a break, but then I'm going to ruin the cycle and I won't get back into it. And it's like, okay, but we're not trying to create habits in 30 days. We're changing habits at the identity level. And that's the difference, mm-hmm. is that when you fall off and you lose the motivation or you lose the willpower when you're in that behavioral or environmental level, then it's hard to get back on. But there is no willpower or motivation when it comes to the identity level, because it's just who you are. That's just how you do things. That's just what you do every day. No one's convincing you otherwise. It's just based on what makes you feel good. And that is lies the key to everything.
Yep. When I first start working with my clients, and we have like either a 6-month or a 12-month engagement, and it feels like, oh my God, that's such a long period of time. It is not. It is actually a blip in your radar. When you've been struggling with food for four decades, it's like it goes by like that. So in the beginning, we work through flow is smooth and smooth is fast. What if you approach this the slowest you've ever approached this before in your healing method? And the crazy part about that is it accelerates your healing. When you're really mindful, and I'm going to slow down, I'm not just going to check the boxes, I'm not just going to do the modules just to check these things off. I'm slowing down because I fundamentally want to get this. I really want to get this. So when I've slowed down in my life, business-wise, you know, however, even in relationships, let me slow down so I can really understand and I can be mindful and aware and separate myself from my thoughts a bit, what's going on there, introspective. You know, I want to be curious, inquisitive, contemplate. When I give myself the space to do that, it is incredible what downloads you get, the information that can be sent to you of like, I've been struggling with this thing for so long. It's like, but slow down, get quiet, listen, and the answers are there.
Yep, 100%. And it's so funny when you say that, because yesterday on our my call, she told me about gene keys. Have you ever heard of gene keys? It's kind of like human design, but it's like slightly different. But I'd never heard of that before. So then I went and researched my profile and I took a picture of it. One of the things, so in two of my gene keys are the same, and it's about restraint, like having that restraint to slow down and to, hold on, let me look it up. I have it open here to see what the actual pathway and the, okay. So it goes, stress is like the challenge. Restraint is the gift, and then stillness is like the ultimate where you get to, right? And so that's part of my two of my gene keys. And I just thought, like, that is very much me. I've preached slowness. I can't get back. I've preached slowness and slowing down and like living your life for so long. And this is like off topic, but I had this like mind-blowing thing. So I've been having like a lot of messages come to me lately that's like, just live your life. Like, stop trying to like buy a new program. Like, you already know what to do. You know, like, we connected through BBD. I'm in like coach growth hub. I was in Maria Wendt's program. Like, of all these things that I'm like, okay, teach me how to do this. I need to follow this like method and whatever. And like all these like messages have just been like, just live your life. Just show up as you. Like, I struggled with, okay, what kind of content do I create? I love recipes. I love, like, I'm certified in holistic nutrition. So it's like, I love just like focusing on micronutrients, but also like, I'm going to post a dessert recipe too, because like, live your life. And so I want to post those things, but I also want to talk about the subconscious mind. And like, I want to teach you how to, you know, show up and be mindful, but I want to teach you that it's okay to like eat the dessert. And it's like, I really fought, like, how do I bring it all together? And then like, yeah, the messages that just kept coming through were like, just live your life, just live your life, just live your life. Mm-hmm. And then that was like my main like life's purpose was like, it literally was just like, you're meant to live life. Like, that's literally what it said. You're meant to like live life. Like, let me read it. It's my life works. Your outer reason for being alive is based on your ability to enjoy the journey of life rather than the destination. And I was like, holy shit, like, it's insane. Like, it's bombarding me. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, all these things and like how everything connects. And like, I wouldn't have even known about gene keys if I didn't have that interview yesterday with a new connection. And it's just crazy how it all like, when you're still things come to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I was going to mention human design before because that I've gotten into a little bit, you know, dabbled, but enough that, so I'm a manifester. And when I did start to understand more about manifestors, it was so validating. So going back to what we were talking about earlier with our energy flow. Mm-hmm. So as a manifester, I'm not somebody who is designed to crank out content like that. I've been conditioned that way because it's my upbringing, like the work ethic, you know, blue collar family, you know, my dad always worked overtime even. So I also have a little bit of that, like you got to work hard to make money kind of a thing and consistency like that. But my energy flow does not match that. And I tried to force myself like square peg, round hole. So when I figured that out, it was so validating. So I'm sure as you're reading the gene keys, you're like, oh my God, it's so validating. It's like, I knew this inside. But and for some reason, it's like, we want some reflection from the world of like, but this is how I feel inside. Please like reflect back to me and mirror back to me that I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a manifesting generator. So it's like a very similar type of energy. And it's like, I do things when I feel good about doing them. And if I don't, then like, don't even bother doing it. Like that's like the energy behind it. And so, yes, I was like, okay, yep, that is me. Like I do things that make me feel good and make me feel like I want to push forward and do things. And if I don't, then I won't do it. I just won't have interest in doing it. And that made like a lot of sense to me. I'm like, okay, yep, I get it. I get it. And yes, like when you just learn so much about yourself that you had no idea was even possible when you like look into these other things or when you're just in tune with yourself. And, you know, like the downloads that you get when you're being still, that can show you the path. And, you know, I saw a quote yesterday. It was actually in my profile, but it was like, wanderer, you don't need to know the path, or like you get the path by walking it. Like, you know, there is no path. You get the path by walking it, by walking. Like, you know, I picture like this in grassy field and like there's no path that you're looking for. Like you're looking for like, oh, which way do I go? But it's like, just move, just start doing.
Yeah, and you're making the path because as your feet go, then you're stomping the grass down and you're making the path. Yeah.
I was like, ooh, that's a good quote.
So good. So good. And to be honest, it very much ties into what we're saying with helping people heal a relationship with food, because it's not that destination. I hate to tell you this, but if you've struggled 20 years, 30 years, 40 years trying to chase your way to when I lose the 50 pounds or I'm a certain weight, you're missing the process in living, not getting to the destination, but the journey in the destination. Right. It sounds so cliche, but there is truth to it, like truth of the capital T. That's what we're here to do. Be really aware of who you're becoming every day in and day out of the process. That is
it. Like, and that just made me think too, kind of about my example earlier, but if you're a grandmother and you're like, oh, I need to lose weight so I can like play with my grandchildren. And so until you lose that weight, you're like, oh, I can't play, sorry, it's too much. And then you die because you're a grandma and you never play with your kid or your grandkids. Well, what about you just do things that you can do? Maybe you can go for a short walk with them. Maybe you can take them to the park. You don't have to run around. But like, if you're like, oh, no, that's too much for me. Well, you're just prolonging something that may never happen ultimately, because, you know, you could go get hit by a car tomorrow. And then what? You're striving for something that, like, you're not living until something happens, but like you also might just get hit by a car tomorrow and none of it matters anyway. Like,
and if you have that flash before you, if you know you come close with death or you're on your deathbed, you're not going to be like, oh, I really wish I had lost that 10 pounds.
Darn it, I wish I was going into my coffin 10 pounds less.
Who would say that? What flashes before you is the missed opportunity. I didn't make that phone call. I wasn't with my grandkid. I didn't make that trip across, you know, across a few states to visit family. You know, those are the things that go through your head, not the, man, I really should have gotten Botox. I really should have gotten that fat sucked out of my thighs. Like, it doesn't really... that's the external mm-hmm. stuff that's like keeping us away from and driving a wedge between yeah. the connectivity of real yeah. life of ourselves and our loved ones and the meaning and purpose we have on this planet.
I think like a good question to ask is, what is the legacy that you want to leave behind? Because I'm sure that will help you figure out your value. So like, what do you want people to say about you? Because I'm sure that when you're dead, you don't want people to be like,
yeah,
oh, she was never really present. And, you know, she never did anything and she wasn't very fun, but she was really skinny.
Like, what?
No, and alternatively.
Yeah, that's a profound question to ask yourself. I think that's great to pose to the listeners. Yeah. I think it's profound.
And because alternatively, on the other side of that, like when they think about you, they're going to be like, oh, she was so warm-hearted. She went on all these adventures. She spent so much time with the kids. And nobody's going to think about your weight. Oh, but she was really like overweight. Like nobody is saying that.
No. And you know what? That brings me back. When you were sharing earlier about going to the beach or not going to the beach, the other thing I wanted to say was that your daughter does not see that. She just wants to be with her mom.
Exactly.
She just wants to be with her mom. So that is the other thing to keep in mind of like, and I even look back like how many photos we have. My mom's not in it. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, a lot of times she was the one taking the picture. However, there's also that story of no. You don't feel good about yourself, so you're not going to get pictures.
Yeah.
But you don't. Then the rest of your family, there's no like memories to draw upon, mm-hmm. and your loved ones don't see you the same way that you see you. You're looking at yourself from a really critical eye, and it's like no. Your loved ones are like, oh, your presence was there. They love your sense of humor. You're the great storyteller. You're the connector of the family. You're whatever that is that your presence is important there. That's the more important thing, not your weight or whatever is going on at the time. You're so in your head about it. And unfortunately, that just sucks you right out of those documenting the memories. Yeah. Whether that's on video or photos or whatever, for your kids, your grandkids, it's just that part's sad. That's really sad.
It really is. It's, live your life. Just regardless. So like show up and start living your life. Like why would you do anything less than what actually brings you joy? Like what lights your soul on fire? Because it's probably not making yourself work out when you really don't want to. And drains your fire, right? So why don't you tell me a little bit about your process, about your membership? Like, how do you help them on? I know we've talked a lot about the mindset being the first step, and then what?
So I have a mentorship program, and I see myself as a mentor because my program's very much about empowering women. So maybe this is the part of my career. I'm a fitness professional, so I do personal training, group training, and I still train women in person. I have a studio, a small studio. I do some filming, but I also train clients. And I can't ever do a push-up for you. I can't do a push-up for my clients. They have to do it for themselves. I can guide them. So my mentorship, when you think about your mindset, I'm not there to be to be codependent. This is a formula. Like the last thing you need is another outsourcing of, oh, Dana's smarter than I am and I need her to tell me what to do. That is not helpful. That's not going to help you break up with diet culture. It's not going to help you figure out who you are. So I have a system and a method that is uncovering questions about yourself, right? So my goal, believe it or not, is that you don't need me anymore. You know, like the mentorship is I'm here to guide you. I'm a few steps ahead, but it's okay because as you learn these things, you build up your confidence in yourself and you get to know what's true for you and you get to feel into And yes, it can show up as far as food is concerned, because it's like, oh, well, I'm just going to follow the keto diet and I'm going to do intermittent fasting. And I'm going to, you follow all these things because these gurus around you are telling you that's the best thing. But what happens is it's driving a wedge between you and your gut and your instinct and your truth about what's good for you and your biology and your body. And the more we lean on our devices, the more we lean on programs, the more we lean on gurus, you are separated from trusting yourself. And I cannot stand for that. So my method is to be alongside you. I will reflect back to you. I will hold the space for you to heal. I have a method for you to heal. But a lot of it is this uncovering for yourself, unbecoming the conditioning. So I have a 12-module process that takes this chaos in your mind of I don't even know where to start and makes it somewhat of a linear process. We know, let's just be honest, it's not linear. It's never linear. However, if you can at least follow like, oh, okay, module one is this. All right, now I understand that. And then it compounds. Module two makes a little more sense. Then we take module one and two and add it to three. It starts to build momentum. And if we're going to be talking about mindset and breaking down old ways of thinking, our brain needs constant remapping, rewiring, revisiting, repetition over and over and over. So I have like, it's almost like you're going to mindset school. Dana Lee's mindset school. So if you're someone who really values education and learning and really like, you know, wants to go to the school of you, hence like the Dana Lee Project, the, you know, Sarah Project, the Anna Project, whoever is doing it, this is your school of you. How do I discover who I am before all the conditioning of dieting was put on me by those who love me, well-intentioned, maybe not so well-intentioned, but, you know, so having a whole process to that. So I work with women either in a group, and that's a 12-month container, or privately one-to-one, and that's a 6-month container, because we're able to talk one-to-one every single week. Because as you can imagine, there's a lot of baggage here with food dysfunction. And very often there is some sort of sexual trauma, something happens that this is where it's kind of sparked from or it comes from. So some clients I work with prefer to do one-to-one because it's private work or they're private people, or they just really want that, they need that full hour once a week to talk all about what's going on with them. So everyone goes through the modules, but depending if you are somebody who enjoys the group and the collective or someone who likes more of a private experience. So I have those two options.
Amazing. I love that. And it made me think about what I was just saying about business programs also. You know, you try to follow everybody else's information and their methods. And, you know, we have methods that work, but it has to be in tune with your process as well, in your intuition, and being able to take the knowledge that other people are sharing with you and then use your own intuition and put forth your own method of going forward. And it's not so much relying on this one thing or that one thing, because and with food, like our bodies are different. And, you know, maybe fasting works really great for that person teaching you about it. Maybe it was exactly the results they wanted, but maybe it doesn't work for you. And that's okay. But to know what does work for you is key. And so that's amazing. Yeah. I think it's really great that you're not just like, hey, depend on me for the rest of your life if you want to stay thin. Because a lot of people do that, but
I know. I see it all the time in the fitness industry. They're like afraid to give away too much because they're like, well, then my client won't need me anymore. I'm a little bit of a freak like that. Maybe that's the manifestor energy in me that I've come to understand. I understand a lot of my role is the catalyst for change, but it doesn't mean that we're going to stay together forever. However, that being said, I have incredible longevity with my clients because it goes from I have to do this to like, I want to stay in Dana's world. And those are two different things. And same thing with like exercise, from I have to exercise to I want to exercise. So you end up, some of my clients, many of them want to stay in the world. They want to stay in the conversation. So I do have programs beyond the 6 months or 12 months so that we can continue to unveil and do layer by layer because we're just getting started, you know? They find it to be actually, dare I say, fun. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it is They're in a lot of pain. They're feeling a lot of shame, guilt, resentment, anger. I remember it. I remember it well. So they want to hurry up and just get through it. But then once you get into it, it ends up feeling so rewarding to understand these things about yourself. You get lit up. And when you have a community of women who are like, they get you and they're like, oh my God, I understand that. Or they can reflect back to you. It's validating. You feel heard. It's incredible. And then that makes you want to discover even more and grow. Hence the collective. Yeah. Because I do believe there is power in that collective of women. And you have to be careful who you hang out with, because I imagine it like crabs in a bucket. You know, there's one woman who wants to escape, but you know, you don't need a lid on the bucket with crabs, because they just tear each other back down. They just pull each other right back down. And I just don't want any part in that. And I want to create a different space for women to be able to support each other genuinely, like genuinely. Yeah. So my program's way more, not just about me, it's about the other women in the program who then because I'm sure you can relate to this, right? You go through something messy in your life. It feels so good that you can share from some genuine perspective of, I went through this shit, but that actually means I can intelligently talk about it. Like, I can actually add value. I can help this person who's suffering, you know? And the other thing I want to say about my program is that I have women like who have done AA, and this program's complementary. I have all different religions, you know, because this is a way to complement what you're already working on. It's not to take away from, and I do believe take what you want and leave the rest kind of a thing. You go through and you're like, okay, this makes so much sense. And like, I don't really get this for now. But as some of my ladies will go through the course a second or a third time because, oh, they totally miss. It's like watching a movie. You watch a movie, you're laughing through some of it. You totally miss half of it. You watch it again. You're like, oh my God, I totally missed that line. Yeah. You know, it's just, that's the way our brains are wired for familiarity. And what can I pick up this first round? So anyone who works for me has lifetime access to the course, so then they can keep revisiting on their own terms as they're ready for that deeper layer.
Yeah, that's amazing. And funny, because I have a membership right now, but I am working on a new program where there's just a lot more in it. And it's going to be more of a life. Yeah, I mean, it's not more, but it is a lifetime access program, because I'm like, with a membership, people could literally be members forever. And that's great for me. But, you know, I want them to feel like they've gotten through their first goal. It's called Achieve Any Goal. And so it starts with, you know, a lot of getting clear, helping them actually set their goals, their values, like understanding that, and then going into the beliefs and releasing those. But as you level up and as you come into your next level of success and you have your next identity, the version of who you are, new things are going to come up. New goals are going to, you're going to set new goals. Like, you're not just like going to stay there and plateau. You're going to want to set new goals, and there's going to be new beliefs, or even like a belief that you thought you released, but it just keeps coming up. And so you have to go back in or try a different method of releasing it, or reprogramming in the opposite in a different way. And so I want people to be able to come back around and go through it again. And with the process of goal setting, obviously, you're always going to be setting new goals as you reach new things. And so, yes, I agree with that also. It's like setting them up to be like, okay, here you go. Here's your, here's all the things that you need. Like, you have my support. I'm here. They actually will get one-on-one coaching like a few times per, even though it's like a program for anybody, like an unlimited amount of people. They'll still get one-on-one coaching. And, you know, when it comes too big for me, then I will bring on other people to help with those one-on-one coaching. But I want to be able to fully support people where I don't need to just do one-on-one coaching, because, you know, you can go and do the technique instead of me spending an hour with you and like physically bringing you through these techniques. You can just listen to the recording on your own time. And then we can do a one-on-one call to like catch up, see where you are, see what the plan is, like do this and do that. And so,
there's so much power in that one-to-one, right? It's even, I think, rewarding. I mean, I'll speak for myself. I love when women say, hey, can we talk one-to-one? So I do have all the packages. So some of my group clients will just like, hey, Dana, can we just do a one-off call? Because I'm really struggling with this one thing. I'm having an issue with my mom or my mother-in-law or something happening, right? We want to dive into it, not for the issue, but for the reflection of who they're showing up in where their boundaries are and all the other things. So yes, it's about the food, but not really about the food.
It never is.
but what I will say, like, I love when they want to talk one-to-one because it's so help. Like, even for me, I get to, like, I want to give you more, you know, and there's only so much I can do in a group, like, or you're doing the membership. So same thing, you're giving so much value, but there's something in the magic of you that sometimes, like, oh, can we just talk one-to-one? Because I can, like, get you here. I could collapse time and we could get there so much faster. And we just,
and being able to physically
that's really cool.
It's like being able to physically see the physiology of them change. Like when you bring them through something and they come to their realization, and then like they just, their shoulders drop, their face changes. Like, especially like, you know, using the neuroscientific techniques, like that's all subconscious. Like they literally start off like whatever, and they, like, as I'm watching them, as I'm doing the techniques with them, though, like, their whole body just, like, changes. And, like, they come out with, like, a smile on their face. And it's, like, gives me chills because it's, like, that you're not just telling me that works. Like, I can literally see you change in the way that you are responding and showing up. Like, it's, like, a weight has literally been lifted from them. And it's, I do love working one-on-one with techniques in that capacity because it's like seeing the changes from my clients, like where we first started, like where they are now. But I also understand that like sometimes people want to just have the access to do it on their own. And, you know, I'm not going to do a call with you at 6 a.m. to like do a hypnosis, but you could listen to the recording that's available and you can just pop it in when you're in bed kind of thing. So I like that there's like that both options for people for sure.
Yeah. And you have to, again, it goes back to know thyself, because I will say I've had women go through my program. They have not joined any group calls. They did not meet with me one-on-one, but holy crap, they gave a fantastic testimonial. Like, what? You came out of where? And what were you, what? I didn't even know if you were doing the work. Like, no, if you're that person, and I'm an introvert. I mean, I know, like, okay, I'm in fitness, I'm like an extroverted introvert. Like, okay, I'll do a group. I used to teach to, you know, dozens of people. However, I need that pendulum. I need to be able to decompress. But I'm also, if I'm somebody who's doing a course or participating, I am not the one sharing on social media. I'm not the one really commenting my thoughts on things, but I will do the work. So I have to remember that, right? Like there's other people like me who are like, they don't have to, they don't need as much handholding. They're pretty self-sufficient, but then that's part of the practice. I will say, okay, but don't get caught in the trap of no, I'm good, because independence is radical independence is basically a trauma response. You know, like you got to be careful with that because if you're just taught like, oh, I can't ask for help. No. This is the space in the mentorship. Ask for help. Because this is where you practice it, you know, and this is where you'll receive the help. So you can actually build your trust muscle in asking for help and receiving help. So there's a little slippery slope there. You know, it's like, okay, I want you to get what you need and do your own thing. However, are you needing help and not asking?
That's like such a good thing to bring up. And, you know, I've thought the same things. Like I actually do have one-on-one calls available in my membership and nobody ever takes me up on them. And I'm like, these are literally here for you. And so in the new program, I'm building it into the program where there's like an actual step where it's like, book your one-on-one call now because we're going to do this. Book your one-on-one call because blah, 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 right? Or we're going to plan your custom hypnosis that you're going to get, or we're going to plan out your action plan together where it's not just like, oh yeah, book if you want, because people are like, even if they want, they might be like, oh, I'm putting her out if I do that. And it's like, that's part of the program. You're not putting anybody out.
Right, you paid for that. You're not putting me out. Like, honestly, I'll say this a lot. I'm like, never. This is how I know I'm in the proper line of work. Also, never do my client calls drain me at all. And we could talk about really heavy stuff, but I have some sort of magical veil that is not, I'm not as much of an empath, I guess, that I don't take on their problems. So I'm like, you are not burdening me. I don't know if you completely understand. I'm in this mentorship role as your mentor because I can literally, I'm strong to hold space. Doesn't mean I won't sometimes get teary eyed or emotional with things that we're talking about, but I'm never drained at the end ever. And I've talked about some really heavy stuff with my clients. So that's always like, nope, we always walk away lighter and feeling better and more clarity and like that I'm living my life's purpose. Yes. So it's like you're getting the help you need, but it's like reciprocal. Like, this is what I'm meant to do. You're giving me purpose in my day.
We're so similar. I'm the exact same way. I remember putting an offer together when I was in Maria's program, and I talked to one of her coaches because I was going to do two one-on-one sessions as like a bonus to the little program that I was putting together. She was like, are you sure you want to do two one-on-one calls? And I was like, yeah. She's like, it doesn't seem like it was like I was selling the program for like $297. And I was like, yeah, but it's a bonus. Like, I actually genuinely love doing these calls. And I feel the same way. Mm-hmm. When I get off calls, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. Like, I feel lit up. I feel like on fire for the rest of the day. I feel so good. And it's also because like I see those changes, right? Like, I see that I've made a difference in somebody's life, and that they are not just only feeling better for the day, like they are going forward in their life better than they were before. And that like lights me up so much, and it doesn't drain me. And, you know, they say like a lot of coaches are empaths, and I'm like, I'm not an empath. I don't take, I'm intuitive, and I am very good at like, I can see your emotions and I know how you're feeling. I can read your body language, but I don't take on your emotions. Like, I don't suck that up. I've never been like a super emotional person. I'm a Libra. Everything is balanced. Like, my husband, he's a Cancer, and everything is so emotional. And he's an empath. He feels literally everything. Like, I know that if something's happening with somebody else that he's close with, like, he's gonna feel that. And he doesn't even have to be close to them. Like, he just takes that on. I'm not that. That's not me. I'm never gonna be that person. Like, so yeah.
Yeah, me neither. I'm like, oh my God, you may think I'm like a cold-hearted bitch because I'm like, well, that's not, I don't mean to come off that way, but I also think that I wouldn't be fantastic in a fitness career if I was like, if I wasn't that way. I have to
You don't want to work hard today? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You know, like, I'm like, yeah, this is uncomfortable for you, but it's for your own good.
No, exactly. Yeah. You wouldn't be able, I mean, you certainly wouldn't be able to coach if you were taking on other people's energies and you would be drained. You'd be like one call and be like, okay, I'm done for the day. Like, that's not the right career for you if that is what's happening. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's really interesting that people describe coaches that way. But I also have like a pretty good like practice before my calls or my podcast interviews. Like, I clear my space. Like, I sage it. I sage myself. Yeah. I sit and I call in like good, clean, positive energy. And like, I'm like, hey, this is, I go into every call with like the energy of bringing good energy to like transmute, not just through the screen to you, but that we're going to connect, that the conversation we're going to have is genuinely going to help others, that people are going to listen to it and feel our energy. And then they're going to be able to take what we're talking about and be better from it, like do something better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not in the way to say that they're not enough as it is, but that they're going to take what we talk about and they're going to go forward with that, doing something differently, making change that better suits them.
And my intention before we talked was like, because I do something similar, I'm hoping whoever is listening, my intention for whoever is listening is that there is some missing piece that gets put into place today.
Exactly.
There was something we said in our conversation that you may have heard in a different way. You've heard it before, but somehow in the way you and I were talking in our conversation, it was like, ooh, that light bulb and the little piece got put into place. Yeah. Like, that was a little missing piece, you know, and that's important. I think that that's why we're doing these kinds of things. We do these podcasts.
Absolutely.
And these have these conversations out there for anyone to listen to, because I'm not doing it just for my own health. I'm doing it to better like my legacy of like, how can I leave my impact on other women to get the food issues out of the way so they can live authentically who they really are, who they really want to live, build a beautiful life without the food and body image stuff getting in their way.
100%. I love it. I think, we're so similar. And I really enjoyed this conversation. I think that it was, I think there's some gems in here for sure. And I think that people who are listening, like, there's definitely some aha moment in this. There were some aha moments, like, for me as they came up as we were talking. So I think that the listeners are definitely going to find that as well. So can you tell everybody where they can find you if they want to learn more? Follow you or join any of your programs to heal their own food journeys?
Absolutely. So I'm on all the socials as the Dana Lee Project. I originally was out there as realfit.tv. So that's my URL, www.realfit.tv, because I started as a fitness platform. And I've morphed over the years to really come to the forefront of helping women heal their relationship with food. So even if you go to my homepage right now, you're welcome to my first, it's a little mini masterclass, and it's a really fun exercise that gets you started with how do I heal my relationship with food? Where do I start? And it's a really powerful, fun exercise. It's like maybe a 20-minute video. My clients love this step. I've loved this step. So I can't help but give it away for free. So you could just go to my homepage and find it there. Also on my website, realfit.tv/mentorship, that's how you can learn about working with me. I have a video on there. There's an application process because, as you can imagine, it's a curation of women in this collection, right? It is who really wants to show up for themselves first and foremost in their life. They are at that point of enough of putting everyone else before me. I want to put myself first, but I don't know how to do it. So having that understanding of that's one of the biggest problems going on in life, that will help to knock those dominoes down and make the healing process with food that much easier. So I do have an application process, but I review all the applications. And then my girl, Mandy, is you get to just jump on a call with her and we can determine if it's a good fit. Across all the socials, I'm on YouTube, you know, the Dana Lee Project. Facebook, Instagram, you can find me on LinkedIn, all the socials there.
Amazing. Yeah, so. And I'll put everything in the show notes also. And great. They can find it there. Amazing. It was so fabulous. Great. Thank you for chatting with me today. We didn't have any trouble with my daughter. She was really good. So
it was meant to be then. It was such a fun conversation. This was such a delight, Megan.
You're
Thank
so
you
welcome.
So
and I will talk to you soon. Okay.
Okay, bye-bye. Great. Bye.